need to interpret the word of God the best we can in light of the power and understanding and wisdom that we've been given by the Holy Spirit. And have you ever heard a preacher or somebody speak and you're saying, you know what? He was reading my mind. How did you know, preacher? Pastor, how did you know to talk about this stuff? Oh my God, you hit the nail right on the head. Have you ever had that? Let me tell you something. Sometimes I'm preaching and I hit the nail on my own head. And I'm thinking, whoa, God, thank you very much. I needed to hear that. Let me say it again. So, you know what? And that's what happens when God brings to mind something to somebody that makes an impact and it's for somebody else. For example, the people who write devotionals and people like, if you hear them on the radio, this is Luis Palau. Have you heard Luis Palau when he speaks? He just says these short little phrases that you go, oh my God, I need to write that. That was awesome. If you hear Rick Warren in his sermons or in you read when you read his books, you're like, oh my God, I gotta, oh my God, oh my God, I gotta highlight that, right? These are people that I understand and I believe have the gift of prophecy. They don't need to open the Bible to give you a word necessarily. Sometimes in their mind, God works some things and says, gives them some phrases that you're like, how come I didn't come up with that? How does he put it that way? And I think that that's one of the ways that the spirit of prophecy works. And I'm going to explain all of this real quickly in the introduction, because really my intention with the gifts is not just to give you an understanding of what it means and for you to understand 1,000% what the gift of prophecy is. What I want you to know is what it is, and if you got it, you got it. And if you don't, you don't. And if you don't got it, who's got it? And if they got it, you listen to them. Simple. And what to do if you have this gift and what to be careful about, all right? So you take, we're not talking about somebody who has a word that is inspired by God. Don't get me wrong. The only word that is inspired by God is the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, the canon, the Bible is closed. Nobody is to add or to take away from it, right? Jesus said, this is it, no more. Yet, some people sometimes say things that make you go, right? And it's awesome to hear that, but you have to be very careful. And of course, these are people who say something and it's not inspired. It's not part of, you're not going to add it to your Bible, but some things that you want to keep in mind and say, wow, that was for me. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But remember that the spiritual gifts are not spiritual hammers, because, you know, to hit people upside the head. Because sometimes the gift of prophecy lends itself. Some people who have the gift of prophecy has this tendency or want to hit everybody with it, right? Smack, smack, smack. Gotcha. I got this word for you. Well, let me tell you something. I was praying for you, and I think God led me to tell you this. Boom, and there they lay it down. And they hurt people. You got to be careful with that, right? But it is important that the people with the gift of prophecy say what they're supposed to say when God places it in their minds and in their hearts. And we have to be open to the Spirit. We have to be open and pursue. The Bible actually says to pursue the gifts of the Spirit, to pursue them earnestly, seek the gifts of the Spirit. Now, you may ask yourself sometimes, why do people behave the way that they behave? Now, I've told you this premise that I believe dearly. People do what they do because they believe what they believe, right? Because you act based upon your beliefs. But also, why do people act a certain way? Why do people react in certain circumstances in different ways? Remember last time I gave you the illustration about the birthday cake that fell on the floor and the different people's reaction according to their motivational gift? Because I believe also that God has given you one specific gift that motivates everything that goes on in your life and how you react to situations and what you do. But there are many reasons to speak about all these spiritual gifts and so many things that we can say, but we have to be careful because there's so much. We want to break it down in something simple, something that we can digest and understand. And these gifts are gifts that motivate you in everything that you do in life, everything that you just simply, it, it, It gives the passion in your life. When you think of these gifts, if you have one of these gifts, which you should, which you do anyway, if you're a Christian, you have one of these gifts, and this gift will motivate you. It's like a motivation for life and everything what you do. And the primordial reason, or the most important reason why we want to talk about that, is so that we can be productive in the kingdom of God, so that we can accomplish what God has for us and for his church, for his kingdom. You see, the gifts of the Spirit are not for your own good, but for the good of all. Remember, I said that last week. So if you want to do right, if you want to have the best possible results in everything that you do, then you need to understand what your spiritual gift is. And we'll go into the list that I gave you in Romans chapter 12. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 3 all the way through verse 8 for a second. And let's read together. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Humility, to start with. He's saying, you know what? These gifts are not about you. They're not given to you because you have so much talent, you know? God doesn't give you a certain gift because, oh my God, Shannon is so talented, I'm going to give her this. No, he gives it to you just because he wants to, and he wants to work that in you. Not deserving, undeserving, okay? And it says in verse 4, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Amen? Let's just stop right there because that's all we need to know. That's all we got. But because we're going to talk about just the gift of prophecy today. Prophecy. What is prophecy? Well, when you look at the word prophecy, immediately you think foretelling the future, right? Telling the future. Telling somebody the future. Let me prophesy over you. Well, you know what? That word can mean to tell the future. It is true. In some instances, it can mean that. And God spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament, and he told them about the things that would come. There are hundreds and hundreds of prophecies of the future in the Old Testament about Jesus coming and about all the stuff that was to happen. So that is true. Prophecy means to tell the future. And today, we can't just take that and say, well, that's no longer today. God doesn't talk about the future anymore. Because sometimes God gives us hints and clues about what's coming in the future. And we cannot, you know, deny that there are occasions in which somebody will say something to you and that God has placed in their hearts and they need to tell you because it concerns something that's going to happen to you. Has anybody ever told you something and then you're like, oh my God, how did they know? They avoided me a collision. They avoided me an accident. They avoided me, anything. It happens. God sometimes gives you a personal message about your immediate future or whatever, something that may happen that you need to be careful about. And sometimes he'll speak to you in your mind, in your heart, give you that feeling, you know, that you'd be like, oh, my God, that perception that you're like, I don't think I should do this. Wham, there it goes. And you think, phew, God, thank you very much. You see, and sometimes God does that through people. And that's prophecy right there also, you know, just telling you a glimpse or something about what may concern you in the immediate future. It's a thought that a person, God has given. God has given this person a thought, but in no way, as it is communicated, it could be equated to the word of God. You see, just because somebody gives you something and tells you something that you're like, how did you know that was going to happen? You're going to be like, oh my God, I'm going to put that as in the same level as the word of God. No, this is the inspired word. Prophecies can be wrong. Prophecies can have elements of right and wrong. Not the prophecies of the Bible, because they tell the future perfectly. But the gift of prophecy is a different thing. Being a prophet of God is one thing. Having the gift of prophecy, there's a difference. And that's what I'm trying to establish here. When people have the gift of prophecy, you see it, for example, in the book of Acts in chapter 21, that a guy named Agabus tells Paul, don't go to Jerusalem, because if you go, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. And what's going to happen to you is that the Jewish people are going to arrest you and take you. And Paul said, you know what? I'm not listening to you. I'm going the other way. Well, Paul eventually made it to Jerusalem, and he was arrested and taken away. But it wasn't the Jews. You see, Agabus was right. Once you make it to Jerusalem, that's your final call. You're going to be taken to Rome. You're going to be out of there. They're going to arrest you. But it was not the Jews. It was the Romans. So it had some element of truth, but it had some element of disconnected truth, or let's say indirect truth, because of course the Jewish people wanted to arrest Paul. They wanted to put him away. And indirectly, they did, but it was the Romans who did it. So you have to be careful, right? When you compare the word of God, what's written here, with what somebody else may say, and those, that's why you got to be careful with all these people on TV say prophet, so-and-so. You know, in the New Testament, there's not a single person called prophet. It was in the Old Testament that that was used. In the New Testament, we see the word apostle. And it was given to those who have physically seen Jesus after his resurrection, those who had walked with him, and only they wrote in the Bible. Those who were called apostles, okay? So that's very important to know. There's a big difference, all right? And you have to be careful, because in the Old Testament, you see this phrase a lot, "and thus says the Lord." You've seen that in the Old Testament when you read, "and the Lord said." You know what? And whatever said, it was directly, boom, put it in writing, because that's what it is, period. But you don't see that in the New Testament. You don't see that. You only see it one time, and the guy who said it said, "this is what the Spirit is saying." And he said what he said, and it went, not necessarily 100% all the way. You understand what I'm saying? There's a different level when the word is inspired and when you are illuminated by God with something, when you're given something to give somebody else. So we need to understand that there's a direct revelation of God, which is the word of God, that was closed when the book of Revelation was written. And then there's fallible prophecies, or things that people say that could come true, and things like that that will be pronounced over your life. But you got to be careful with those. You got to test them. Even in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, the apostle Paul says, do not despise prophetic utterance. Do not tell the people when they say, "well, I got to tell you something that the Lord has placed in my heart." You're like, "oh my God, here we go. He think he a little prophet." Don't do that. Don't despise them. Listen to them. But look at what you got to do. This is different. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Keep the good. Don't worry about the bad. You know what? God doesn't say to do that with the Bible. Read the Bible. Whatever's good, you take. Whatever's bad, take away, right? So there's a different level when you talk about the prophetic word of God directly, and when you talk about the prophetic utterance of somebody giving you something that's going to help you in your spiritual life. It doesn't have the same authority. It doesn't have the same, because it is inspired and this is illuminated. You see the difference? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3, it says that prophecies are for the edification. And it says, "but one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation." It gives us what the purposes of these prophecies are. Prophecies are to help you, to comfort you, to help you grow, and to exhort you when you're wrong or something like that. It's good. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, a couple of verses before that, it says, "pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." You see that? Paul is saying, prophecy is good. It's very good. As a matter of fact, strive to hear prophecy. Strive to prophesy if you have the gift. Tell people the truth when you know it. Tell people the truth and help them live in the truth when you got it in you. That's what he's saying. So, but be careful with going out there and just seeking whatever people say. I know people who live their lives going to church expecting that the prophet or the preacher tells them something to guide their lives upon. But they never read the Bible. But they're always waiting for a prophetic word for somebody to tell them. Be careful. That's not what the Bible calls for. So now you know. So the person who has the gift of prophecy is the person who comes up with these things in their mind that the Spirit puts in their mind and heart to say to somebody else to help them, to comfort, to aid them, to edify them, to lift them up, and to exhort them. And some people have that gift. Some people have that gift. They may be perceived as obnoxious sometimes, right? But some people have that gift of telling people the truth, the way it is, and what they need to hear, even though they don't want to hear it. You get what I'm saying? So you get the gift of prophecy. You get, is it clear now? Amen. Hallelujah. I hope it is, right? But let's think about now the characteristics of a person who has that gift of prophecy. Let's talk about the characteristics of this person that has the gift of prophecy. Number one, he has a strong need to express themselves verbally. These are people, men or women, who have this thing about, oh, I got to say something. Right? Now, don't get me wrong. There are some people that need to shut up. They need to not say nothing. They need to hush. They need to not say so much like me. When I looked at these characteristics, I fall in place in some of them, but some of them I straight don't. So sometimes I'm not thinking I'm necessarily having this gift myself. But some people, I know they do. And sometimes they come out as, you know, come a little across like obnoxious. But sometimes you need to hear them. And sometimes, you know, even the person with the gift of prophecy is obnoxious because they're not using it right. But we'll talk about that also. Don't worry. So it's usually those who speak first. Those who are in a meeting and they're always like, you know what? And they're ready to speak at all times. If they see something that is unjust, they want to speak on it. And they're like, we're not going to let that slide. You know, they get up and they defend the truth. That's the thing about the gift of prophecy, defending truth. It's a person of the Bible, not just a person that corrects people. It's a person that when they speak, you can hear the Bible coming out of their mouths and saying, oh my God, what he's saying is true because I've read it. Or it goes in line with the word of God. Whatever they're talking about, they're always talking. They're always taking action. And if you want to take somebody out of the Bible who has the gift of prophecy, who would you think? How about Peter? The apostle Peter. Remember in the book of Acts, at the beginning of the church, the Holy Spirit comes upon in Pentecost day and everybody is speaking and people are understanding the gospel and people are getting converted. And all of a sudden, somebody needs to get up and preach. And who's the first one? Peter. He gets up and preaches. He's like, yeah, I'll tell you what. And he goes on and he starts preaching and 3,000 people come to Christ. You see, these are people who have a clear discernment. They don't like to waste time. A strong ability to discern the motives of other people. If you're the type of person that walks into a room and you see a group of people and you just hear a few words and you say, I know the motives of that one. You may have the gift of prophecy. Maybe you do. If you're one of those persons who easily discerns people when you hear them and when you see them. And this is Peter, you know, pretty much. And I'm going to give you a couple more examples about that. But he got up, he proclaimed the truth because he couldn't hold it back. He just could not hold it back. And this discernment ability that these people have, you can see it also because the people, they're always like, you know what? We need to be careful because this can have adverse consequences. And they're always thinking about consequences. What is going to happen if we do this or if we do that? If you do this, this is what might happen. And they're always keeping in mind the consequences, unlike most people, right? That we do things and then we're like, oh my God, I didn't know it was going to turn out like that. And the one with the gift of prophecy would say, I told you. You have one of those people in your life who says all the time, I told you. They may have the gift of prophecy. Don't count them down. Now, be careful, right? But you see, you can't make quick judgments, but you got to be careful. But some people have that ability, like Peter, when Ananias and Sapphira came over and they wanted to give the big offering after they sold all the properties, right? And they said, we're going to give this to the church. As soon as they walked in, everybody was doing the same thing. People were getting rid of their possessions to give it to the church so that everybody could have food and everybody could have a place to stay. And here comes Ananias and Sapphira, and they're thinking they got this great offering. They come over and says, here's the profit of all that we sold. And they didn't even say anything, actually. They just brought it. And immediately Peter said, you fools. You think you can fool the Holy Spirit? You're going to die right now. Boom! There went one. They died. Immediately Peter had discernment. He knew in his heart that these people had bad intentions, that they were deceiving and trying to, you know, manipulate the Holy Spirit. And of course, once in a while, the one with the gift of prophecy will make some mistakes in their judgment. Trust me, they're not perfect, right? The only perfect one was Jesus. He knew the intentions of the heart. He knew exactly what was in people's heart. You see it when he went to the water well and he found that woman and that woman came over and said, you know what? And he said, give me some water. Well, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't be asking water because I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew and we don't get along. He says, shut up. Jesus didn't say shut up, but he pretty much said, you know what? You don't know what you're talking about because you have had so many husbands. She's like, What? And the one you're living with is not even your husband. You're in sin, woman. Huh? See, quick judgment. Somebody say, oh, my God, Jesus, come on. Be nice. Right? But he's determined for her to know the truth and to get right with God. Usually people with the gift of prophecy, the only reason why they do this is because they want you to live righteously and get right with God. If that's not their purpose, they're misusing the gift. Because the purpose is to edify and to help others, right? Because sometimes they get into flesh too, and we're going to talk about that. So another thing about the people with the gift of prophecy is when they get into something, they go in wholeheartedly, all the way. They go in for head first, okay? They go in to the deepest end, and they go, and they're determined to finish tasks. You see, Peter, when he was in the boat, Jesus told him, hey, go ahead and go, and, you know, go on the boat. And they went on the boat, and then the storm came. You remember the story? You've seen it out here portrayed and everything live. And when Jesus said, you know, it's me, when they finally said it was him, Peter said, well, if it's you, command me to go over to you. And what did Jesus say? Come, Peter. And what did Peter do? I don't know about that. No. Peter jumped in the water immediately. They don't think about it twice. They go in head first. That's probably what his problem was. That's why he couldn't walk. He went head first, right? No. He couldn't walk because he took his eyes off of Jesus. You see, he had his gift. He had this discernment. He could tell, and everything. So this is good. Any other person, like the other 11 that were on the boat, they see it and they say, well, this storm is too strong. The water is too high. The waves are too dangerous. I'm not going out there, Jesus. Why don't you come to us? You're walking on it already, right? But Peter said, no way. I'm going after it. So these are people who are just simply all the way. Number three, very open to correction. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. These are hard to find people who are open to correction from anybody. If you're not open to correction, then you can't have the gift of prophecy. Because one of the things that the gift of prophecy does is exhortation. And when you exhort people, when you tell them what's wrong with them, and you want them to get right, and then you don't want to hear it when you're wrong for that. So be careful. Don't make the mistake. People with the gift of prophecy, the intentions are pure. Their motive should be, I want to help you to get right. I want to help you to enjoy and to be benefited by this Christian life. You see the result? It's different, right, from when people just go at you and they just point your mistakes because they just like to point it out that you're wrong, you know? And they want you to, they're just committed to the truth and want to help you avoid the blind spots, you know? They want to help you avoid blind spots in your life that sometimes you just don't see things coming. They want to help you see these things coming so you're not surprised. And then when they have blind spots, they don't mind somebody else telling them. A person with the gift of prophecy will not be angry if you try to correct them because they know that that's what they want. They want to live in the truth. You hear these people who say, hey, if I'm ever wrong, please tell me. Please tell me because I don't want to be wrong. See, those are kind of indications that this person may have a prophecy, the gift of prophecy, like Peter when they went to fish. They went out fishing all night. They couldn't catch a single fish. They come back. And when they get back to the shore, Jesus shows up and says, hey, good morning, guys. What y'all doing? We've been fishing all night. Well, go out there and cast the net over there. And oh, my God, not at this time. We've been fishing all night. We didn't catch anything. You know what? You know, he was had a little apprehension, but Peter said, but on your command, I will. You know what? I stand corrected. You're right. We couldn't fish. Maybe we can now. This is not the proper hour to fish. Fish don't bite at this time, but we're going to go anyway, right? And they went, and when all the nets started breaking with so much fish, the first thing that Peter did was get on his knees and say, depart from me, for I am a sinner. He acknowledged, you know what? I stand corrected. You can fish during the day. He took it, right? So this is the good thing about people who have this gift, and they make right. They want to correct others, but they don't mind being corrected. And there's a little saying in my country and in Spanish. It says, when you go to a fight, you got to bring two sacks. one to give and one to receive. When you go to a fight, you're going to hit people. You're going to get hit too. You're going to pick up some blows. So you know what? The guy with or the person with the gift of prophecy knows that he's going to go out there and he's going to give some blows to some people that they're not going to like, but he's going to get some too. And he doesn't mind standing or being corrected. All right? Let's think about a couple more characteristics and then we'll move on to how these people are misunderstood. Another characteristic is a strong sense of loyalty. These are people who are very loyal. Right? Why? Because they cherish the truth. And they tell the truth. And they live with the truth. And they don't like lies. They don't like to be on the edge. They don't like gray areas. They don't like not one shade of gray. Not one shade of gray. They like it all in black and white. It's wrong. It's right. It's right. It's wrong. Period. People with gift of prophecy are usually like that. They're loyal. They're loyal at work. They're loyal with their families and at church. And this is a very important quality, of course. Even you'll find the people with gift of prophecy, they're loyal to those who are wrong or to those who even have fallen into sin because they want to restore the person. Usually when you see somebody fall deeply into sexual sin or a big problem or a big sin in their lives and the people say, oh, I'm not talking to that one anymore. Oh, my God. You don't have the gift of prophecy if that's your attitude. If your attitude is he needs to be restored, she needs to be restored, and I'm going to tell him. You know, you may have it. You may have it. I'm not saying you do, but you may. You think about it. But while you're walking in the spirit, you know, when the person with the gift of prophecy, they don't get away from people. They're loyal to people and to what they do. And whenever somebody does, then they want to help them out, whether it is in their marriage or church or anything else. When somebody leaves church and somebody says, well, what the heck, is their loss? You don't have the gift of prophecy. A person with the gift of prophecy says, I'm going to go over there and tell them the truth. They need to be in church. They need the teaching. They need somebody to go rescue them and help them to get back into truth and not believe those lies that they've been told. Amen? So you see the difference. And you see the difference, and you see it in the Bible when Jesus was talking to a multitude. And all of a sudden, everybody started dispersing and leaving. You know, even Jesus had that happen. Jesus speaking to a multitude, and everybody's just leaving. Just like at the concert last week, right? Right before the end, everybody just started walking off because it was not what they expected, right? Hillsong, Hillsong, Hillsong. What happened, Hillsong? People started walking away, right? Well, let me tell you something. Jesus started preaching at one point at a multitude, and the same thing happened. And everybody started leaving, and he turned to his disciples and says, are you guys leaving too? All of them were like, except Peter. Peter said, where shall we go? Only you have words of life. You see, they're loyal. They stand by no matter what. Only you have the word of truth. So you think Peter, loyal? How come he denied him three times? Well, don't worry. We're going to get there. Because even the most loyal can become very disloyal, very unfaithful when they start walking in the flesh. All right? Now, they're also willing to suffer, willing to suffer. They're going to be loyal to the truth and to the word of God, even if they have to suffer, even if they have to make a decision that's going to be like everybody, why you want to do that? Well, it's the right thing to do, even if it hurts me, even if it takes me to jail, even if it takes me to a position to lose my job or to lose whatever, but it's the right thing to do. I'll suffer the consequences because they want to be corrected. When you have the gift of prophecy, you just don't defend yourself with anything. You only look at the word, and if it's true, it's true, and if not, then you abandon that. You're willing to suffer criticism. The person with the gift of prophecy doesn't make a big deal about people criticizing them. They just don't worry about that, you know, because they're simply rooted and grounded in the truth, and they don't care what other people are going to say about them. They're good friends. They're loyal. They're devout. They confront you when they need to. They tell you the truth as a good friend, even in the worst of situations, because they're not afraid to lose unless if they lose for truth. So they're very persuasive, and they won't leave you with any doubts. You see that? A person with the gift of prophecy doesn't leave you with doubts or leave you hanging there like you're thinking, What the heck was that about? No, they're clear. They tell you directly. They straight up. They want you to understand. They want you to understand the truth because they want you to change. It's like a good teacher. When he's teaching, he will teach to a level where every single person might understand. And when they do that, they can bring correction and teach, and you know, people can learn truth and change their lives. So those are some of the characteristics of a person with a gift of prophecy. Now let's look at this because sometimes they're misunderstood. So even though you may think, well, but yeah, they're often misunderstood. Number one, people often think that they are intolerant. Oh, you're just intolerant. You just can't take anything. You know, there is some gray in life. And they're like, no, there's not a single shade of gray. Not one, not 50, not nothing, right? It's black or white. It's a yes or a no. That's the way they roll. Now, of course, in life, I know that there are some things, even in the Bible, that is kind of grayish, that we don't have it all necessarily clear. But for the majority, it's all clear. And these people with the gift of prophecy, they don't like it when something is gray. They're often, no, it's got to be good or it's got to be bad. It's got to be right. It's got to be wrong. It's either black or white. You right? And this happens, of course, in different ways. We see it. For example, young lady gets dressed to go to a party or go to a school activity or go anywhere. And when she gets dressed, she's walking by the living room and daddy said, whoa. Where do you think you're going dressed up like that? He goes like, what's wrong? Ain't not wrong. Everybody wears it. That's why everybody wears it. Oh, you're not just everybody. I'm going to tell you right now. And then mama jumps in. It's not that bad. You don't need to make a big deal about this, daddy. It's okay. You know, I mean, look. It's not like she is that grown. Come on. And you start trying to make excuses for them. And you start trying to make it look not so bad. You're trying to get that black into the gray. And the man is saying, no, it's not black or gray, it's white. And she better go change right now or she's not leaving this house. Boy, people hate people when they say that, right? Those people may have the gift of prophecy, right? It's one of those things. Another thing that happens, and I saw this. This weekend I had the youth in my house, right? We had a little pool party, and you see these kids behaving in so many ways, in such ways, and you're thinking, they think I'm dumb, right? And you see these kids that boyfriend, girlfriend, but nobody knows. They're just friends. Nobody knows. But then they have, whether they have or not, the approval of the parents. But yet, you know that they're not old enough or mature enough to carry a relationship like that, but yet, They're in it. And they think nobody knows. Until somebody comes along and says, Well, we talked to one of those young gentlemen. We had him till midnight, so we took advantage and spoke to him about that. Because, you know, their behavior, you could tell that they didn't know what they were doing. And you have to be very careful, right? Just think about it. Well, and then you discover that some parents tell their children, it's okay, but when you're in church, don't hold hands. Don't kiss each other. Don't let anybody know that you're boyfriend, girlfriend. I mean, it's okay. I'll approve it, but not while you're with me. Yeah, it's okay. But when you're in church, be careful because you don't want anybody to know. I've heard that. I've heard that directly from the mouth of these children. Now tell me if somebody has the gift of prophecy or not when they tell them or they don't. You can make the difference. And the one who doesn't have the gift of prophecy will say, well, it's okay. You know, they'll grow out of it or they'll get tired. It's just a phase. Really? It's just a phase. This is also a phase. Right? Getting pregnant or things like that. You know, so you have to be very careful. You got to tell the truth. You got to be out there with the truth and show the truth and be the truth and nothing but the truth. That's what the gift of prophecy, people like that do. Number two, people think they are disinterested. You know, some people think they're intolerant. They just can't take a little bit. No, but they're also disinterested because they think all you want to hear is whatever happened and you're not concerned about me. Or the person, they feel like they're not, like the person with the gift of prophecy is inconsiderate maybe, or disinterested. You see this in people like, usually people with the gift of prophecy, when you're going to tell them something or ask them for a favor or something, they go straight and they say, I don't have time, I'm sorry. Get to the point. Don't take me on a journey. Just tell me what destination we're going. Give me the destination. Don't give me the whole journey. Don't tell me how to get there. Just give me. Kids do that with parents, right? Well, Mom, there's this meeting. It's a party. There's this meeting that the kids are having in school. We're gonna get together. It's a party. They just don't say it. And we're gonna be together because you know the teacher wants us to kind of share some. It's a party. They just don't want to say it. You know, they keep going until you finally are like, you're going to a party. Well, not necessarily. You're going to a party. Just say it. Right? The one with the gift of prophecy will say, just be clear with me. Don't give me all that. Don't beat around the bush. Tell me what it is and let's get to it. Yes or no, period. Right? Those are the people with the gift of prophecy. I don't want to go on a journey. Just tell me the destination and I'm done with that. And then, of course, why do we do that? Because we're trying to convince them and persuade them, right? See if we can change their minds and see if we can kind of take them along the ride so that at the beginning it looks okay and then they go, okay. And you're thinking, okay, I'm telling them. And then at this meeting we're going to, okay. And then at the end they say, no. But the whole time you've been saying okay. I didn't say yes. I said, okay, that I'm listening, right? And then people say, well, you're not listening. You're really not interested in what I'm saying. All this stuff that I told you, you didn't even hear it. Oh, I heard it. And while I was listening, I was thinking of 10 reasons why not to go there. Right? Goodness gracious. This is awesome, especially for parents, children, stuff like that. But the gift of prophecy, even in cell groups, sometimes we just don't like it when people tell us, right? But for example, the person with the gift of prophecy does not like it when people try to persuade them and they keep, please. I don't know if I have the gift of prophecy. I'm not claiming that I do, but I hate it when people do that to me. You ask me something, I said, no, I'm not going, or yes, I'm going. Don't take it anywhere further with please, because it's not going to work. I get uncomfortable, and I want to tell you, please, hush. No more please. I hate it. But I remember when I did that to my mama and my dad. I drove them nuts, right? But the person with the gift of prophecy, that's why I say I may not have it. Because the person with the gift of prophecy is not asking please. He's never begging for anything. He just asks, what do you think about this? Yes or no? No. Okay. They just keep going. Whether they get angry or not is another thing, right? But so you know what I'm saying. When you have people with the gift of prophecy, then you'll see that the best thing that you can do is go straight to the point with them, all right? Another one, frankness is viewed as harshness. Sometimes they're just so frank with you, and being frank is being direct with truth and not beating around the bush, right? Just being truthful. In Matthew chapter 16, Peter and Jesus, again, is the example. Jesus tells his disciples, it is necessary that the Son of Man may be crucified and that he may die and be resurrected on the third day. And Peter comes at him and says, no, let that not be. Please don't let that be. And what did Jesus answer to him? Get away from me, Satan. Now, he wasn't calling Peter Satan, but he knew who was behind Peter, Satan, trying to work a scheme and say, you don't need to die for these people. You need to go to the cross. You don't need to be resurrected. You don't need to do all that, right? So, like Jesus demonstrated his gift of prophecy right there. He immediately discerned that and he went at it straight up and said, you know what? Stop. He didn't go at Peter saying, well, Peter, let me explain to you why I need to die. Just don't worry. It's going to be okay. No. Don't cry, Peter. It's okay. I'm going to be resurrected. It's okay, Peter. No. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. I bet you Peter went like, what? You call me what? Right? Boom. Now, I don't think he challenged Jesus. I'm just playing. Be careful, right? But he had to stop him. Peter was willing to risk his life. Peter was willing to face an army with a machete. He didn't care. As a matter of fact, when they came to arrest Jesus, what did Peter do? He cut the guy's ear. Shout, get out of here. There was a whole bunch of them. But he was willing to fight them all because that's the way people would the gift of prophecy are. They're misunderstood many times because they seem harsh. But they just want the truth to be what it's supposed to be. Now let's balance it out. The person with the gift of prophecy walking in the spirit, or the person with the gift of prophecy walking in the flesh. Let's see the differences and let's get out of here. Number one, when walking in the spirit, you live in loyalty. But walking in the flesh, you start fading away. You start disappearing from relationships. When this person, it's like the total, the way opposite from end to end, right? A person can be so loyal, being that he has the gift of prophecy. He's always loyal to the truth, and he's always there, and he never fails. He's always there. But yet, when they start walking in the flesh, they go all the way to the other end of the spectrum. They disappear. And that's when you start thinking, what happened to so-and-so? He's no longer in a church. I heard that he's out there just slipping and sliding. He fell from grace and this and that. But he used to be so strong in the Lord. I mean, this guy was awesome. You go from one end to the other very quick when you start walking in the flesh. You see, it's like they start putting up excuses, and little by little, they start disconnecting themselves from the spirit and from people and everyone. And it starts this rebellious cycle that end up in divorce, maybe at home, end up with children leaving home or them abandoning children and stuff like that, leaving your work or just firing somebody. They just go from one spectrum to another, from one end to the other. And they start getting away from the truth of God. And next thing you know, it creates something else, which is walking in the spirit. You start living in truth. But then in the flesh, you start living in deception. Then you start fooling yourself. You start living a lie. So even if you have the gift of prophecy, you be so strong about the truth. And then you be the opposite way about lies when you're in the flesh. You'll defend yourself to death knowing that you're wrong. And that could be very deceptive. That's very, very critical when you're in the flesh. Very important to know that you don't need to go there. Just as they follow the truth with all of their heart, the same thing they do when they go the other way, and they become deceptive to people. Number three, walking in the spirit, you live in honesty. But walking in the flesh, you live in hypocrisy. There's a people that they love the truth, and they're in the truth and everything. But as soon as they start sinning and they get into the flesh, oh, my God. They seem to be, but they're not. And they start becoming hypocritical. And you don't want that, of course. You don't want to go there. When you're living in lies and deception, you become a hypocrite. You say one thing, but you live another. Next, walking in the spirit, living morally, but walking in the flesh, you start becoming immoral. All of a sudden, immorality starts getting into your life as you start drawing away from the spirit and from the pure of God and his truth. Then all of a sudden you start living a deception, you start living hypocritical, and then you become immoral. Number five, walking in the spirit, you start living boldly. But when you walk in the flesh, you live fearfully. What is boldness? Boldness is just courage of telling the truth and living the truth and just being bold. You know what I mean? Just being out there and being who you're supposed to be, period, and not caring what anybody else says. But then all of a sudden, when you start falling the other way into the flesh, you start getting scared and you live fearful and you start becoming quiet. You start not doing stuff. And people are like, hey, what happened to you? I don't see the fire in you like it used to. Well, I'm okay. It's all right. I'm just taking a little break. No, they're in the flesh. They're in sin and they don't want to tell you. They're hypocritical now. So you got to be careful with that, you're right? And you start living in fear because you don't want to be found out. You don't want to be uncovered. And you know the consequences. You know there's judgment. So usually people with the gift of prophecy, when they start falling into the flesh, they know the consequences so quickly. They're convicted about consequences. They get scared of them, so they don't want to say anything. So they say something, that it's not, whatever they say, it just doesn't match what they're doing. And, of course, all of a sudden they get into the point where somebody with the gift of prophecy that's walking in the spirit comes to them and says, I told you so, right? I told you so. Now, next, walking in the spirit, you're very forgiving. Walking in the flesh, very unforgiving. Remember, I told you the person with the gift of prophecy, they're always wanting to restore people to righteousness. They're wanting to restore people to the truth. They want to help people get back into it because they are passionate about the truth. But when they start living in the flesh, oh my God, they're very unforgiving. Very, very unforgiving. They start rejecting people. And then walking in the spirit, they're very persuasive. But walking in the flesh, they're very contentious. Why? Because when you're walking in the spirit and you have the gift of prophecy, whatever you say, people are like, you know what? That is true. I like what you just said. You know what? I needed to hear that. But when you start walking in the flesh, it seems like you get very contentious. You start, you're aggressive. You're like, you're ready for war at all times. And nobody wants to listen to that, or nobody wants to believe that. Anyway, nobody wants to believe a person like that. They leave the church, and then they say they're, you're like, whoa, but he was such a great Christian, right? He knew the word. But once they go into the flesh, that's it. They all start dwindling away, and they start digging this hole in their lives that they can't get out of. They need correction, but it seems like they can't get it because they're so deep. And they may be digging with a spoon, but you know what? Digging with a spoon every day will get you in a big hole in a bunch of days. So you have to be careful. If you have this gift of prophecy, of the truth flowing through you, and telling people the way it is, and telling it like it is, and being convicted that you got to tell people stuff, it's okay. But be careful, because when it turns the other way and you start walking in the flesh, oh my God, you're going to have a really hard time getting out of that hole, because then you're going to live in hostility, you're going to live bitter and angry and resentful, and you're going to start breaking relationships with people. Your life won't be productive. You have no fruit, and you just keep digging that hole for yourself. And then you start asking yourself why. But you know why, because you understand the consequences when you have this gift. So it doesn't matter if you have the gift of prophecy or not. Any person with any gift that decides to stray away from the truth, you're going to become disobedient in some area of your life. And if you're not corrected in time, then you're going to see the consequences destroy your Christian testimony and the life of others. You will always affect others in everything. It is important that we stay connected to the Spirit and listen to His voice. Be, you know, tuned into His voice of conviction, and to be responding when He rebukes us, to be repentant when He tells us and gives us conviction of sin in our lives, and start correcting not only those who we love, but correcting our own lives and accepting the correction when people tell us because they love us. Walking in the Spirit daily means that I'm going to be listening to the voice of God to be obedient, and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to heed it, and I'm going to do it because I want to be able to live rightfully for God. And even if you have the greatest gift that you can have out of these seven, or the one that you most like, you got to be careful because you're exposed when you have such gifts. You have such gifts. You can cause pain if you are in the flesh, but you can help others when you are in the spirit. There's always somebody that gets hurt when you're in the flesh, even if you don't have the gift of prophecy. It's very important that we understand that any gift misused is trouble. That's why it's so important not to give excuses to God and just listen to His voice and do what He says. Spirit wants to speak to you. He wants to speak truth. Even if you don't have the gift of prophecy, He wants to speak truth in your life, whether it is directly, whether it is through the word, or whether it is through someone else. Just listen to Him.